May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I want to help you on your next round of Bible trivia today. I want to tell you a little bit about the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. You see, that book is called the Fifth Gospel. Now, there are only four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Isaiah is called the Fifth Gospel because it is cited so often in the New Testament. So often, in fact, that it's second only to the Psalms. The New Testament is rich with the language of Isaiah. And Isaiah covers a long history, a long and complex history of the people of Israel as they go through war, through exile, and through their return. Isaiah speaks of uncertain times. This is the experience of the people Israel. And Isaiah, the prophet, stands in the middle, in the thick of this history, and he proclaims something new. See, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. I will set Jerusalem up as a joy and its people as my delight. That's the hope that Isaiah brings. Now, our history, too, is long and complex. And we, too, may be facing a certain sense of uncertainty, a sense of insecurity about where we stand. This is our experience now, too. And I heard that in the youth room last Sunday night, as I sat with a bunch of middle schoolers and high schoolers, and they told me about all that they had been hearing about the election, about the negativity, about the violence, about the speech that was full of vitriol and hatred, about being tired. I can tell you that we feel this because I've had many conversations this week as people try to figure out what to do, confused, unsure of how to interact with family and friends over the divisiveness of this. On any end of the spectrum, there is some sense of fear of how we worship, how we pray, how we live together. These are uncertain times. Now, I don't know what the future will bring, but there are a few things that I do know, a few things about the Bible that I would like to share with you. And the first is this, the first commandment that God gives God's people in Deuteronomy does not ask them to do anything in particular, but it asks them for one particular thing. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you will love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Hear, O Israel, the first commandment is listen. Listen with your gut. We've never been good at this. Never, ever, ever. There's no ideal time when we've been good listeners. And that is what God calls us to, something that we can all work together on. The second thing that comes to mind for me as I think of what it means to act, what it means to move, is just to think of the New Testament witness about how Jesus begins his ministry by quoting the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to release the captives, give sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor. This is how we move. We listen and we act and we reflect and we listen again and we act and we reflect. That's the way of the Christian community. I don't know what the future will bring. But I do know that the Bible often teaches us a whole lot more by example than it does by edict. And I know that Peter, the apostle, before he became Peter the apostle, was Peter, the one who denied Jesus. And I know that the long history of the early church in the book of Acts that's glorious and culminates in Pentecost is really an argument about who's in and who's out in the church community. This is nothing new. And this is something that we are called to live into and act in. After we had a conversation about the current state of things with the youth last Sunday, I asked them to describe what they thought the politics of Jesus would look like. And they talked about listening, and they talked about kindness, and they named a few other things that caught me by surprise, like sportsmanship, like the fact that Jesus' words are often harsh, but fair and honest. There's something to that. There's something that I think we can all learn from that, because often we talk about our children and our youth as if they're the future, but they're actually our present. They're ministers alongside us. And their words and their reflections have reminded me this week of the commitments that we make at that font back there every time we baptize somebody. So, if you would do me the favor of opening the Book of Common Prayer in front of you in the pew, that red book, and if you would turn to page 304, I would like us just to go through the promises that we make at baptism, the promises that we make as we say, I will with God's help. So at the bottom, will you persevere in resisting evil? I'm sorry. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Thank you for being here. Thank you for making this promise every time we baptize someone into this church community. Every time we welcome someone new, knowing that we were once outsiders, and the church is made up of strangers in a strange land. We can do this with God's help. Amen.